La na ra da ra da, la na ra da ra dee. Talking about you and me and the games people play.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday edition of the TBTL Winter Games. This is, of course, our little yearly winter time where we take a couple of weeks to work our side jobs. And we play these fun TBTL games to keep you all entertained with new content while we're doing that. I'm Luke Burbank. Or today, I'll be known as Buke Lurbank. More on that coming up in a minute. Right over there is the longest running Cobra of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships. Is it Wandrew Alsh?
I think so. Yeah, these are names given to us by today's quizmaster, none other than Nick, the Perfect Ten, who sent us a quiz. He didn't make the quiz. It's an online quiz, but it's a quiz that you need to actually create online credentials for. You needed an email address and passwords. He created email addresses for us just so that we could take this quiz. He did all of the pre-work on this thing.
And we thank him for that. By the way, Andrew, I have some bad news. You know, yesterday on the show, we played that fun quiz. Was it Hammaker, Schlammaker, I Said More Ham? Or as we were calling it, Hammaker or Shamaker. And after we went off the air, I have to admit I couldn't control myself, and I purchased a few items. I purchased a two-person helicar.
Oh, two-person.
Child's bed.
Is there a weight limit on that? Because I'm a person who could be your number two.
The bidet bowl sanitizing light, the heated fingers for fingerless gloves, the sand from the beach of the Lost TV show, and, of course, the illuminated earwax remover. About all of those things.
Are those all the things that are actually fake? Did you go through the quiz and did you pick all the fake ones?
No, I think Bill made up like half of those.
Yeah.
I hope to God he made up some of those.
Because I was going
to
say, I was with you there for a second. I was like, wait a second. What is the warm fingers for fingerless gloves? That's pretty good spoof.
Heated fingers for fingerless
yes.
gloves? Yeah, that's not bad. I also wanted to honor Bill's comedy writing there and throw a few more in. But most of the things I probably would buy if I'd had more than two glasses of wine,
yeah.
I'm going to be totally honest with you.
Right. I remember, I don't think my friend Paul made this up. I think this was from one of his lefty anti-consumerism magazines that he was reading so much in the early 2000s. But I remember he had, what was the ad? It was like a Adbusters magazine. He was a big Adbusters guy. And
sure.
I think they had a big page of a fake ad that just said, "Feeling empty? Consumption will fill the void." I think about that line a lot when I'm buying stuff.
It's totally true. Like, that's like they're absolutely right. I'll speak for myself. I often, buy things because it gives me a good feeling to feel like, I've solved a problem in my life or something. And it is very much about kind of filling a void, however temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
But also, is there anybody less fun than the person who, I'm not saying this about your friend Paul, but like, I agree with that in principle 100%. But if I was to ever say to you, Andrew, "Hey, I got this interesting new device," and you went, "Did it fill the void?"
Right.
For a minute, I'd be like, I both agree with that 100% and shut up.
Right. And I know you're not saying this, but Paulie is not like somebody who's ever done that, but he was very much into like that whole, because there are a lot of people who are kind of in that, I'm forgetting the names of these writers who seem way more prominent in my life 20 years ago. But, that Adbusters moment was pretty big, looking at kind of putting our consumerism under a microscope in a kind of sarcastic Gen X-y kind of way.
And we should. I mean, that's the thing. And if anything, because of course everybody turns to the TBTL Winter Games for Luke's trenchant commentary on consumerism. But like with something like Amazon, it's only streamlined the process of acquiring things that I don't necessarily need.
Right.
Because it is just a click of a button away. And it's something that can happen 24 hours a day. It could happen in between episodes of American Greed, narrated by Stacey Keach.
Greed, what is American Greed? Is there irony there? The fact that you're buying things during American Greed?
No,
is
it's just it would be a typical scenario where I would be, for whatever reason, I watch shows like American Greed. There's some kind of self-soothing there too. I don't know if it's, I'm curious about these scams. I'm curious about the people in them. I think I probably wonder to myself, am I capable of that? Also, what did they do wrong that they got caught? You know, just a little research. And I will often be watching that on a Friday or Saturday night, I will often be having a drink or two, and that's the prime time for me to then also think, what's a non-existent problem? What's a void that I can fill by acquiring something and then being excited that it's on its way to my house? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the sort of chain of events for me.
I will say I'm pretty, I guess, lucky that I don't have that particular, I don't know, impulse, I guess is the word. I almost said compulsion, but I feel like that's too strong of a word. Like, that is something that I don't fall prey to too much.
Only because
much.
I have to do it and have no control over it.
Right. We'll say impulse.
I guess that's a compulsion to you?
But, yeah, luckily that is not one of the ways I fill the void. And don't get me wrong, I fill the void in many unhealthy ways, including the midnight sausages I had yesterday. But luckily, like, going, because I'm nervous. I'm a very nervous online shopper. Like, I'm just so, like, hitting that I've, you know, they've made it easier and more more forgiving so that if you do buy something incorrectly, mm-hmm. you can return it easier than ever. But I still like the idea of having to return something, of like going to the post office or even one of those Amazon like drop off centers and doing that. Like, to me, like, I would avoid that at all costs. Like, somehow I would rather get in my damn car, drive to Bed Bath and Beyond and buy the thing in person than drive it home. Like, I'm just kind of, I'm kind of just old in that way and haven't really adapted. I still buy plenty of things online, but it gives me more anxiety. It doesn't fill the void.
Mm-hmm. You know, having said that, you'd think if you were to wander around this apartment, you would just see all manner of like silly thing that I purchased. And actually, for whatever, that's not really what it looks like. It's more like small things. Like, I bought champagne corks, used champagne corks, that I could hammer into these weird industrial holes in a cement wall so I could hang pictures. But I bought like a bag of them is like 30 champagne corks, which is way more than I needed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm just trying to look around this room and see what is evidence of these kinds of purchases. It's strange because I do buy, I bought a like an undermounted paper towel. What would you call it? Something that you can put a roll of paper towels on,
uh-huh.
and then unroll them so the paper towels don't just sit on their edge on the countertop in the kitchen. Because there's not enough room for me to put so this is a perfect example. If there's not enough room, the kitchen is very small, the kitchen area. It's literally like a couple countertops with a sink and a stovetop there. And there's nowhere to put paper towels. So I realized, but there is this kind of wood shelf that I could, if I could glue or screw something under it, that could be the paper towel holder. And so then I go online and I find the one that like looks the best. It's stainless steel. It's to my aesthetic tastes, has good reviews. And then I order it. And then I spend 5 days just thinking about how cool it's going to be to put that paper towel rack up and then put the paper towel on it. And you know what? It was. And it is. And in between recordings of the Winter Games, I went in there and grabbed a paper towel because my nose is running because I was power eating salsa before the show.
You're only going to need about how many of those corks for your project, your wall hanging project? You probably need
like
about
six. So okay. If you want 24 used champagne corks, go for it. I've got them.
No, what I'm going to do instead is send you this link. I'm on Pinterest right now looking at all the art projects you can make with extra champagne corks. A lot of them are suggesting making little people out of them. I think you can do better than that. But there is one here that's intriguing, a little Batman and Robin figurine you could do. But you could also make
That'll match my Batman golf cart.
That's cool. You could also make a heart-shaped wreath and hang it on your apartment door. That would be something. You could make a minion keychain. So there's a lot of stuff you can do.
Rubble,
this could
rubble.
Through the whole
is that what
winter.
The minions say? Do they say rubble? Oh, that's the Fry Guys.
I was going to say, I thought that was Barney Rubble for a second. That's
minions too. Rubble, rubble.
I forgot about rubble, rubble. Rubble, rubble. Anyway.
I was just taking a quick sip of soda.
I thought we were going to break.
Muted.
Sorry, I let you down there. I thought I was taking your lead, but instead,
no. The problem
I just
is,
let the dead air hang.
I'm not drunk with alcohol right now, which is sort of surprising because it's a Saturday afternoon as we record this. I am drunk with power with my mute button, Andrew,
mm-hmm.
which means when you're talking, I like to mute my microphone and take a swig of Coke Zero, and that's what I was doing right then and right there. So I apologize for the hiccup. But this is actually a good time for us to take a break. So let's do that. Let's take a quick break. And we come back. This is a completely uncharted territory. That's not true. I am aware of the Harry Potter stuff because, number one, Addie read all of the books when she was little. And I believe I went to pretty much every one of those movies with her and David and Sammy at some point. So I've actually seen it probably every Harry Potter movie. But I retained very little of it, which will come as no surprise to the listeners of this show who hear me fail to retain things that happened only minutes previous. And so this is some kind of Harry Potter thing that listener Nick the Perfect 10 has set up for us. And you're pretty... The Potterverse is not a space you play in much, is it, Andrew?
No. In fact, this is relevant to what Nick wants us to do here, which is he wants to figure out which Harry Potter house we belong to. Like, take the sorting hat quiz, which I've heard about.
Sure.
Sorry about the yelling cat. I'll take care of him during the break. I mean, boy, that sounded...
He's in Slytherin, man.
That sounded violent.
It's a major Slytherin trait.
I'll try to quiet him down during the break. But I will say, and this is a true story, and this was one of my most popular tweets of all time, I believe, because I tweeted it out when it happened. I was kind of... It was a real emotion I had. I said, I don't know what a Hufflepuff is, but I don't like the fact that Genevieve says, don't take this the wrong way when she told me I am one. And that is something that happened, I'm going to say, in the past year or so. She said, yeah, don't take this the wrong way, but you're pretty clearly a Hufflepuff. And I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but I know that I'm insulted by the fact that you set it up that way.
But does that mean that Genevieve does play in the Potter space?
She read the books. I don't think she really liked the books. If she did, I probably would have read them too.
She's a lot of books to read to not like.
Genevieve is she's voracious, the right word. She just gobbles up books.
Like diminutive. She's the number of books she hasn't read is a diminutive amount.
It's almost like religiosity to her.
For
new listeners,
today.
These are all words that I've messed up in the past few shows, and I will not forget about until the new year rolls around, because 2021, Andrew, makes no mistakes. But
that's right.
Anyway, so she's familiar with it, but she doesn't play in that space much. I literally have no idea. I know that when I drive by Cal Anderson Park, sometimes some adults are on broomsticks, like running around.
Yes,
like,
Quidditch.
Yeah, doing that.
That's
stuff.
Quidditch.
Okay, so that's good.
So, okay, let's take that break, and then we'll come back, and we will find out once and for all, Andrew, which houses we've been sorted to here on the TBTL Winter Games. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. It's time to enter the wizarding world and get our wizarding passports. I am your host, Buke Lurbank, here with Wandrew Alsh. Our friend and the Perfect 10, Nick, in Florida, set this up for us. So I'm at the part of the page, Andrew, where it just says discover your house.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you are in this journey?
Yep, I think that's it. Now, are these schools or houses? And you would know that because you did read these.
I didn't read them. I watched the movies, and I was paying minimal attention. But houses, oh my God, I just realized something. Us speculating on the rules of the Potterverse is just going to drive our listeners nuts.
Yeah.
So this will be fun. My sense is that the houses are almost like not fraternities and sororities, but like you get to Hogwarts, the magic school, and then you get kind of... The sorting hat tells you which house you're going to go to. There's like Hufflepuff and Gryffindor and Slytherin and the other one.
Well, can I actually say right here, because Nick says something very important here. He says, Hogwarts, regarding the sorting, I really think this would be
a gorgle.
I know. Did you hear me? Wow. Just really broke there for a second. I really think this would be a great quiz, especially since it asks some interesting questions. And I've also been dying to know what each of your houses are. Also, and this is the key part here, don't get caught up in the whole Gryffindor is good, Slytherin is bad, Ravenclaw is nerdy, Hufflepuff is wimpy. Wimpy? Genevieve thinks I'm wimpy.
I was going to say,
that's all bullshit,
get Hufflepuff,
he says.
Okay. Yeah, because like Slytherin, you think it's bad, except... Sirius Black, sorry, no, that's different. Snape, who's like the head of Slytherin, I think, or something, Alan Rickman's character. He is great in the end. He's been a good guy the whole time, even though we thought he was bad. I think Sirius Black actually also is good, although he's from Azkaban.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't make it clear that I hadn't gotten to the end yet.
What's that?
Just telling me the spoilers.
Yeah, sorry, bad news. Yeah. Spoiler alert, I was taping that. Yeah. But anyway, I want to apologize in advance for the many, many mistakes that I'm going to make when trying to describe the Harry Potter world to Andrew. But Andrew, what if you get Hufflepuff, then it means Genevieve was right. And And will you take some offense to that, even though you were told don't be offended?
I guess I still don't know exactly what it means. Here's what I want to know. Why in Harry Potter does everybody have to be divided up? Like, wouldn't it be better if your schools were divided?
J.K. Rowling is a monster.
But like, yeah, like, why can't we, shouldn't we have people like influence, like, you know, split people up so not everybody is the same and you can be influenced by people who
are different. There's so much more house fluidity now than we ever realized before.
Right.
It's a spectrum, Andrew. You could be anywhere.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm actually, where I am is entering this this kind of process, this sorting, if you will, and I'm already excited because I have very strong feelings about the first one.
Now, I need to, the very first thing I got to do is I got to choose one to continue, moon or stars.
Wait,
is that what you
didn't
have?
You're not getting river or forest?
No, I'm getting moon or stars
so
first.
So the very first hat question for me is river or forest, and I am choosing obviously river. That's a no-brainer. And you're getting what?
You're a big water person. I can choose moon or stars. I'll be honest with you, I don't have a huge opinion on this, but I'm going to go stars.
What a Hufflepuff.
Yeah. I'm going to go stars on this. Okay. They seem more exotic.
Yes.
Now what do you have? Because now I have like
your thumb on the scale. Try to go for the most evil thing you can.
Right. I'm just going to choose snake for everything. Snake. Snake. Snake.
Right in your answer?
Yeah.
C, other. Snake. What are you most looking forward to learning at Hogwarts? This is my next question. All about magical creatures and how to befriend or care for them, or flying on a broomstick? I don't even need to look at the rest of these. Yes, it's flying on a broomstick.
Okay.
I mean, are you kidding me?
So I don't know if mine is similar here. It says, once every century, the Flutterby bush produces flowers that adapt their scent to attract the unwary. If it lured you, it would smell of... Okay, so which of these smells would lure me in? The sea? Home? I am a homebody, but that sounds like Hufflepuff, doesn't it?
Don't try to game the system.
Don't tell me what to do, Slytherin. A crackling log fire? Or fresh parchment? Ooh, I do like the idea of... of fresh parchment.
Nerd.
But I'm going to go with a crackling fire because I smelled one yesterday as I passed somebody's holiday celebration outdoors, and it really appealed to me. It really drew me in, so I'm selecting that.
Okay, I've got, what kind of instrument most pleases your ear? The piano? The drum? No, although that's probably a Slytherin answer. The violin? The trumpet? Unless it's Mr. Morrison playing the Transformers theme, it is not a trumpet. My answer to this will be obviously the piano. No brainer.
That's interesting. I don't know what mine would be on that, but I also have no idea how many questions this is, so I guess I shouldn't linger too long. Then it'll turn out to be like, oh, five questions, you're a Hufflepuff nerd, and then we're going to have to fill the rest of the show.
Well, I don't think we'll have a problem with that. And I think the greater danger is that this is like 75 questions.
I think that's more likely. If you could have any power, which would you choose? That's very straightforward, and I like this question already. The power to read minds. Ooh, I would hear people thinking shit about me. I could not handle that. Mm-hmm. The power to change the past. Oh, my God, I'd get stuck in a loop. I'd constantly be changing everything. I still want to go back and edit Monday's show. The power of invisibility. Ooh, I like that. I was at your party. The power to speak to
didn't see me.
The power to speak to animals. That'd be fun. The power of superhuman strength. I already got that. The power to change your appearance at will. Ooh, okay. That's
pretty good.
That or the invisibility. I'm going to go with invisibility.
Okay. Here's my next question. If you were attending Hogwarts, which pet would you choose to take with you? So am I waitlisted for Hogwarts?
That's mine too. Hogwarts is the school, right? And then they're all Hogwarts, but then they're
Hogwarts
divided.
Is the name of the school. It was my safety school.
Yeah. Hogwarts was my safety school.
I wonder, we probably have the same possible animals, cats, toads, or owls?
Yes.
So this is, what pet would I bring with me? Well, see, this also feels like it's kind of leading us in a direction, right? Because it's like the owls, that's wise. The toads are kind of maybe a little bit kind of creepy and dark. And the cats are the cats. I'm going with cat. I love cats now.
Me too. I'm going with cats.
So, okay, cool. So if you're attending Hogwarts, now we've got choices of these cats. Would I want a ginger cat, a white cat, or a Siamese cat, or a tabby cat, or a black cat? Which one are you going to go for, Andrew?
I don't think that my answer should influence you, so I don't know how I feel about that. But I think Ginger or Tabby. I'll go with Tabby.
I'm going with Siamese because Olive kind of, people think Olive is a Siamese cat. She's not. She's just some barn cat. But I like them, those Siamese cats.
Okay.
So
they're elegant. They're somewhat haughty.
Okay, what's your next question?
Which nightmare would frighten you the most? Ooh. Is that yours?
No.
Standing on top of something very high and realizing suddenly that there are no hand or footholds nor any barrier to stop you from falling.
I think we can kind of just close the case on that one.
The illustration of this one is almost like the dream I described on last Friday's show. Like, that is literally my first nightmare as a kid, was falling. Being forced to speak in such a silly voice that hardly anyone can understand you and everyone laughs at you. That's what I do for a living, you stupid website. Waking up to find that neither your friends nor your family have any idea who you are.
Ooh.
I could live with
that's
that.
Some George Bailey shit.
Yeah. An eye at the keyhole of the dark windowless room in which you are locked. Ooh, that's really scary too, but I'm going to go with the rooftop one.
Okay. That one does feel ripped right from the headlines of your life.
It does.
My question that I've arrived at is, which of the following do you find most difficult to deal with? The first option is loneliness. The second option is what will be the winner, Andrew, boredom. The third is hunger. I never do anything out of hunger, even eat. Being ignored or being cold. And for me, being bored, boredom is probably the absolute worst, because most of the bad things that I do are to stave off that vague feeling of boredom, because what that really is the vague feeling of me trying to be in touch with me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't want to, first of all, I don't want to overstep, for real, but I feel like three of those are intertwined for you. When I think about the things that, when I think about you, like, I feel like boredom and being alone kind of go hand in hand, and I say that as somebody who, like, I'm
see,
fine being
be
by
alone
myself.
As long as I'm drunk.
Right.
Like, I'm good with being alone if I'm watching my American Greed and I'm having a couple of glasses of wine and I'm ordering my undermount paper towel roll hanger. I'm cool. I don't need other people for that.
Right.
But what I'm not good at is turning the TV off, putting the computer away, leaving the wine in the cupboard and just sitting on that couch and just kind of being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what would you do? Well, I mean, I think a lot of people.
Well, luckily, I haven't had to test it.
Yeah, okay. So, okay, yours is boredom. Given the choice, would you rather invent a potion that would guarantee you what? Glory?
Mm.
Love?
Hmm.
Power? Wow. Or wisdom? It's down to power or wisdom for me, because glory is, that's just vain. Love, who needs it? No, just joking. But power and wisdom, you know, I think the respectable answer here would be wisdom, but I honestly feel like wisdom could be a burden.
Mm-hmm. Of course. There's nobody less happy than somebody who's actually very smart, because you realize, I would imagine if I were real smart, how kind of inequitable the world is and how many things are not great. Like, we should all be so lucky as to have a coconut fall on our head like Gilligan and lose 40 IQ points and be blissfully happy.
I'm going with power.
Wow.
That's,
did not see that coming.
Who's
I hope I get that question
because
I've got a different answer than you. My next question, late at night, walking alone down the street, you hear a peculiar cry that you believe to have a magical source. Do you draw your wand and stand your ground, or withdraw into the shadows to await developments while mentally reviewing the most appropriate defense and defensive and offensive spells should trouble occur? Draw your wand and try to discover the source of the noise. Proceed with caution, keeping one hand on your concealed wand and an eye out for any disturbance. Probably that one. No, I don't know. I mean, I think I tend to act decisively even when it's not the right decision. Like, I tend to respond to, I don't freeze as much as I fight or flight. Like, so I could see myself definitely drawing my wand. I feel like that would happen. So I think I would draw my wand and try to discover the source of the noise.
Okay.
And it'd probably get me killed.
Okay, mine is complicated here. A troll has gone berserk in the headmaster's study, Luke. It's okay. About to smash, crush, and tear
is
several...
Is it Jordan Peterson of the men's rights movement?
You know what? He's just misunderstood, Luke. He's a brilliant
it's
guy.
Paul
He's got too
Watson
much wisdom.
Talking about men who wear masks and their inability to sexually please their partners.
It is about... This troll is about to smash, crush, and tear several irreplaceable items and treasures. In what order would I rescue these objects from the troll's club if you could? A nearly perfected cure for dragon pox. This doesn't seem relatable. Select a position for the cure, 1, 2, or 3. Well, I don't know what the other ones are. I'm going 3 because I don't really care about dragon pox. I don't think it's real. I've been vaccinated. Student records Plandemic. Going back 1,000 years. I really don't care about these student records, I gotta be honest, so I'll make that number 2 because I've already chosen number 3. A mysterious handwritten book full of strange runes. Okay, yeah, that seems promising, so I guess that's my number 1. I do have the option to reorder them now that I know what they are, but I'm happy with that, so I will confirm that order.
Okay, I just got the same question you did about the potion that would guarantee me something, and I'm going with love.
Really? Okay.
That's also my Tinder profile.
It is now. Screen cap that.
If anybody's got a love potion.
Yes.
No, because those other things that you talked about, I mean, really, honestly, what do we want in this world more than to feel loved on a sort of fundamental level? I think we're still kind of, we're tribal. Our ancestors were living in groups, and we needed somebody to sort of help. We need people to help keep us alive, and I think that love is a very powerful thing. And a lot of the BS stuff that I do is because either I have trouble accepting love from people, or I'm seeking what seems like love, but it's not, or whatever that kind of murky need is, and it centers around love. So if I could take a potion and get some love, I think I'd be into that.
You know, the interesting thing, and again, I know we don't have tons of time, and I'm really, really on the edge of overstepping on all this stuff, but the reason I didn't pick love, and I would think that this would apply to you as well, not to put you on the spot, but I just feel like you and I are two people who have a lot of love. You know, mm-hmm. You're just talking, you know, you're in Portland now, and you were talking about how you ran into your brother on the
yep.
street. He was jogging just, I think that was yes. today, right?
Not as we record this.
And like that I told you before the show, like that gave me a very loving feeling. I love that you yes. guys are close enough to see each other coincidentally now. Mm-hmm. And you have so many people in your family who you're close to. And I know there are, you know, frustrations with any family, but I feel like there's so much love in our lives. That's why I didn't feel like yes. we needed the potion.
That's a really good point. You and I are both very fortunate to be the recipients of a lot of love. I guess I'm imagining if you take that all away, if we're building from scratch here,
mm-hmm.
and I've got this potion, and I'm in this version of life, I'm at going to Hogwarts, so I feel like I'm a different
yeah,
version of myself.
Sure.
I'm with you that we're both very fortunate to have a lot of people in our lives who love us, and I, not to get hokey, but I feel a lot of love from the listeners of this show.
Yeah, amen.
Which means a lot too. So I agree with you on that, but I can always get more, Andrew. I can always use more. Okay,
feeling empty.
Your next question.
Buy a love
yep.
potion. My next question is very simple: heads or tails? I will go with tails. I always go tails.
It never fails. I've got one. We're getting down to these binary type questions. I got white or black, and it's like black, no question.
Yeah.
Whoa.
His sorting hat is ready to make its decision.
I'm, jeez.
A little nervous.
That was fast.
Yeah.
It's like, Hemingway said about going bankrupt? It happened slow and then all at once.
Yes.
I think I got that from Chris Hayes' podcast. I think somebody mentioned that. That's stuck with me since I heard that. Wow,
right.
Here we are. I'm a little nervous. Do we just hit?
Take a break and come back?
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Also, I say this with absolute peace and love to our friend Nick, who set this up. And by the way, Nick put in a lot of work. He wrote email addresses mm-hmm. for us, which I believe are real functioning, like Yahoo email addresses. Like, he had to obviously jump through a lot of hoops to make this happen, and we appreciate it. My guess, though, is that when we click continue, we are going to have to watch a 30-second video ad for Disney Orlando. Doesn't it feel like
maybe
this continue button is going to lead us to some sort of advertorial moment?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay. I think it's going to be clean. I think it's going to be a clean experience.
Okay, well, we'll do that. We'll take a quick break, and then we will come back with the results from the sorting hats. Plural.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
But first, this advertorial message.
Thank you, baby.
We would like to thank our donors of the day. These are the wonderful, generous people who are making this episode possible. We're talking, of course, about Amanda Wilhelm of Shoreline, Washington. Lauren Arnold over there in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. Our old buddy Nick Kennedy, the King of Ska, in Lakewood, Washington. Hey, Nick. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. Adam Tyler is in Bethel Heights, Arkansas? Okay.
No, Arizona, right?
Oh, A-R. Yeah.
Wait, am I Arkansas? Right? Or A-K is Alaska.
Arizona's A-Z,
A-Z,
right?
You're right. You're right. Arkansas. You're right.
So we've got two listeners in Arkansas at a minimum. We have listener Danny, and we've got listener Adam. Remember when we read that? The closest you, and this is reasonable, the closest you've ever come to just being like, I quit, was when we went to a McDonald's in Arkansas and you were trying to post.
Was
the show.
That Arkansas?
That was just across the line in Arkansas. And you were just, you were dealing with a bunch of technical challenges. The Wi-Fi in that Arkansas McDonald's was not what we hoped it would be. And
what
I had
it?
One job.
I needed the hotspot or something?
You needed the hotspot
from you.
And I went in the car and I laid down, I reclined the seat and went to sleep. But when you came out and looked at the car, you didn't see anyone in the car because the seat was reclined. And when I woke up, I had like 10 missed calls from you because you just needed
I couldn't
the hot
do my job.
To
I couldn't
do your job.
I couldn't get the I couldn't get the show posted. But we were only at this McDonald's to get the show posted.
Yes.
But I also had all of my stuff, all my gear set up, like my laptop
so
and my recording
leave.
Device. So I couldn't leave the McDonald's to go like shake the cars of the door to wake you up. And I also didn't know you were in there because you were reclined. Wow. Well,
yeah.
We got through it.
I blame Adam Tyler, honestly, to some degree. You could have come over from Bethel Heights and helped guard your gear while you came out and woke me up.
Now I'm confused. That was us hitchhiking, right? But was this the part of the hitchhiking adventure where we finally gave up and rented a car?
Yes.
Or am I mixing things up?
Nope. You're absolutely right. At some point, we're like, we're not going to get to
James.
Mississippi in time. Oh, by the way, whatever. We don't have time for all of this. I am been getting some new insurance set up for the Mazda, and they were like, well, you have a speeding ticket. That's going to cost you. I was like, what? And it was because when I was driving from Mississippi back up to Illinois for a TV gig, I got a ticket in somewhere called Grand Mound, Illinois.
That was
so thanks a lot.
3 years ago, and you just never paid it?
Also, no, I paid it, but it's just a ding on my driving record.
What? That
for
was
insurance.
Forever ago. One
and there was another crash.
They
said, you had a crash in 2016. I said, no, I didn't. And then they said, is it possible it was maritime? And I said, oh, yeah, I did crash a boat.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
I am serious black.
But you're not insuring
I know.
A boat.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. What is both here and there is that we want to thank Nancy Nestor of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Nancy, someday when we're all healthy and we have herd immunity, we will see you at an Isotopes game. It remains my dream to go to an Isotopes game there in Albuquerque. And then Stephen McConkie of Silverdale, Washington. Does Stephen know my parents is the real question. Anyway, thank you so much to all of these donors of the day. Thanks for making the show possible. Andrew, we are here.
This is it.
It is time. So are we just going to click continue together and then watch our Disney Orlando Epcot ad and then we know what house we're in?
Yes, or we don't watch the ad. I mean, that's the real quiz here is who's Oof, right. Gosh. Will there okay, be an ad go. Or not? Tell me when to click.
I'm hitting continue. Whoa.
What are you?
Gryffindor.
Me too, my friend.
Hey.
You're a Gryffindor. Cool. So we get to hang out in study hall together, I think.
Oh, that would be awesome, Andrew. That's I was cool. saying right before we started recording this episode, I was saying that you and my brother David are two of the most pleasant people I know in the world. He's probably Gryffindor, too. I think we're building a whole critical mass of fun. I mean, I'm not. I'm just a double A. I'm there doing recon for Slytherin.
What did you? You're just undercover.
I'm the Donnie undercover Brasco Gryffindor. Of Gryffindor. I'm in deep cover just studying you nerds so I could report it back to Alan Rickman.
What's a better show title? Hogwarts Was My Safety School or Undercover Gryffindor? I guess that
I
might
like
give away.
Undercover Gryffindor.
It might give away the game, though.
You're right.
So what
catch.
Did Nick
See, that's very Gryffindor of you.
What did Nick say? He said, like, don't get up. In the get caught up in the Gryffindor is good, Slytherin is bad. Oh, so Gryffindor is good. That's good.
Yeah,
I am getting caught up in that.
I mean, again, I don't know enough about the books to make an overall judgment on this, but the sense is that Slytherin is. I think that's where Draco Malfoy is. That's like the kind of like they're the goths of Potter world. You know what I mean? They wear a lot of black and. And they're just kind of like they seem like some pretty dangerous customers. If I remember right, everybody ends up getting in. Everybody gets it together in order to fight Voldemort at the end. You know what I mean? It's like it's not like the Slytherin ends up being a bad house. But for a lot of the books and the movies, you're kind of like, dang, those guys are bad news.
Well, it says that Harry Potter and Albus Dumbledore are both Gryffindors. So that seems like good company. I don't know.
Whoa. Wait a sec. Does this so Harry Potter, Hermione Granger, and Ron Weasley are all Gryffindor?
I guess so.
I wonder if they give everybody Gryffindor. That seems like clearly the best house to be in.
I actually feel like I feel like I've sort of betrayed the Dumbledores or whatever Genevieve said I was.
Hufflepuffs.
Yeah.
I want you to march out of this room. I want you to go.
Yeah.
I want you to print this out. I'm sure there's some kind of a plaque. I want you to print it out, and I want you to show Genevieve that you're a Gryffindor, and then I want you to make passionate love to her.
Like a Gryffindor.
Like a real Gryffindor.
It says I can share my pride on Twitter and Facebook, but again, we can't. We must keep this secret until the day this show publishes, of course.
Oh, right. Of course. Yes. No, this is... To be totally honest with you, for a big section of our listeners, I'm sure that this was a very fun show because
I had fun.
I had fun doing the quiz. It ends up really just being kind of a personality test, if you will, as Nick had sort of speculated. So, hey, Nick, thank you. Great job. I was wondering, Andrew, could we go out with some Harry Nilsson?
Oh, okay. I was going to go out with some Do You Believe in Magic by the Love and Spoonful. Oh,
let's do that. Let's do that.
Do you have is there a Harry Nilsson thing, or are you just thinking about Harry's?
I was just thinking about Harry's.
There's something about Harry's.
Yeah.
You know, sure. I
couldn't believe how
much razors cost, so I built a factory in Germany.
I will tell you something, okay? Those commercials are starting to make a lot of sense to me. I believe we did ads for Harry's, so I was clearly very, very committed to the product. But even more so, of late, like when I was doing those like software video things, I had to make sure to shave like every day because it was going to be on camera.
I usually shave
like every couple few days because I just don't have very much facial hair, which is more that's my Hufflepuff coming out. But like I've been using razors and they really are expensive.
Yes,
like if you use a disposable razor every day, you're dropping like $30 a month on razors. And I was like, oh, this is what the guy was talking about in the commercial.
And you know what? I'll tell you this. And Harry's was like sponsored us. Harry's sponsored us for like what? A 1 month back in 2015. I don't owe them anything. But I will say that, of course, I have a beard, so I'm not shaving daily. But I still, of course, have to do a little cleanup around my neck area and my high cheekbones area. And until last week, I was still using the shaving cream because you use so little for those little areas.
Right.
I was still using the shaving cream that they sent me, and I miss it so much. The smell of that shaving gel is great. Harry's shaving gel, man. Get it for me for Christmas next year.
Okay. All right, we'll do. We're basically 11 months from Christmas as this is as this is finally hitting the airwaves. That's not true. We're almost at New Year's Eve, though, which is going to be exciting as well.
Exciting.
Okay, so we'll go out with a little Lovin' Spoonful. We will once again say thanks to listener Nick for this great idea of a quiz, and thanks to everybody for tuning in. We are going to be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you, so please do join us for that. Until then, enjoy your afternoon. Take care of yourselves. Be safe. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all. Or rhythm and blues, just go and listen.